Hey, welcome to our Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy here, along with Jennifer and Stephen. And the big word for the day, as we think about intentional living, is the whole thing of expectations. What did you expect in life? What did you expect in marriage? What have you been expecting? And you maybe experienced disappointment because reality didn't equal your expectation. How do you, as a follower of Christ, deal? Now, come on, just in reality, how do we deal with disappointment or unmet expectations in our life? How do we do that? This is really a big topic for intentional living. Let's get the phone line open. I want to hear from you. What have you learned about expectations? How do you manage expectations? What do you deal with disappointment in your life? Let's help each other. We've got a big community of people listening, the podcast, the radio program, all around the world on radio and online at 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717 is the number. And the formula that we use here in our Intentional Living Teaching Center and on my conferences is this. Write it down. This is important. This is for anything in your life having to do with expectations. An expectation minus the reality of that situation will always equal disappointment. Seems logical, right? And so when you think about that from a formula standpoint, a mathematical standpoint, there's only one of two things you can change, either your expectation or reality, if you don't want to have so much disappointment. Now, I know people who run around empty when it comes to expectations. They have none, and so they're never disappointed. But at the same time, they have no expectations for life, and that can be a downer and a bad thing. You and I know other people who run around on a full tank of expectations. Everything is so high. And living in this Yelp world, the review world in which we live, that everything, unless it's a five-star rating, we're not happy. And we're disappointed. Yeah, which might be okay for your local restaurant. You say, I'm going to just go to another restaurant. Well, what about your marriage? What about your kids, your job, yourself? And so here's the question. How do we deal with expectations in our life as a follower of Christ? What do you do? 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's get going. First, Gary in Tennessee. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call and for your program.
Thank you.
I hope this isn't the Christianese answer that you didn't want to hear, but... And by the way, just for a frame of reference, we recently celebrated our 49th. So
congratulations.
Well, thank you. She deserves over 50% of the credit, and I won't tell you how far over. Anyway, the first thing I do is apply the golden rule, as Jesus gave us in Matthew 7:12, one of the 20 or so places it appears in the Bible, that it satisfies all of the law and the prophets by just doing to others as you would have them do to you. So mm-hmm. My first step is to look in the mirror and say, am I meeting her expectations the way I want her to meet mine?
Wow.
And frequently that humbles my expectations, puts a frame of reference on hers, and kind of leads towards a more amenable feelings about it. But then after that filter, after that screening, whatever you want to call it, if I still think that I need to deal with it, I try to deal with it with questions instead of criticism or accusation.
Yeah, that's really smart, Gary. Listen, I tell you, I see people in the counseling where they just they beat each other up because of unmet expectations. Some people, maybe it's you. You live your life in such a way that you're just never happy. I mean, nothing can ever measure up. And that is a very difficult way to live because we live in a fallen world. And you can see that it even happens in our faith, people who are disappointed with God because things don't measure up the way they think they should be, you know? And in that process, it creates a real problem, serious problem. All right. 888-888-1717. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Samantha in Wisconsin. What have you learned, Samantha?
I learned very early on in our marriage that I had a picture in my head of who I thought he should be and who I thought, you know, he was. And you know, I just had to learn to accept and love who he was completely, his faults. He wasn't maybe the perfect person that I thought he was, and I wasn't perfect. So, you know, we just kind of had to learn to accept each other completely.
So you got married with a whole set of expectations in your mind.
Yeah, I was young.
Yeah, in fact, number 7 on my list and number 1 often in my teaching for couples is expectations, whenever they're greater than reality, equals disappointment.
Yeah, and it was really hard the first few years for me to finally come to that conclusion that I was holding him to higher standards than what I should have been.
And that's the tricky thing, because we want to have standards, obviously, in marriage. We don't just tolerate anything in marriage.
Yeah,
but
I mean, he's a great guy.
Yeah, we can get picky, though, can't we?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. How long have you been married now, did you say?
9 years.
All right, so what you've learned, Samantha, is to be realistic with the expectations and love them anyway.
Yes.
Yeah,
I've learned to forgive a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big part of it. Thank you. All right. Appreciate that, Samantha. Jennifer, you've been looking on here, hearing these calls, people talking about expectations, and, you know, we need to have expectations. Do you ever wrestle with that in your life, with just any particular area in life that you struggle with that?
When I do it a lot, I figure out a whole scenario at times so I don't get disappointed. If it happens, I feel like I almost feel like I was preparing myself in advance.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's relationship, whether it's, you know, my car or something, you know, with a bill. I always have been that way. And it is a struggle because I'm constantly thinking about, it's very stressful. I'm trying to get away from that, but habits are hard to break.
Yes, it is. It'd be an interesting study to have someone stand outside of one of these giant amusement parks that people come with great expectations. You know, I don't know if it's Disney or whatever park it might be, and ask them at the end of a weary 10 hours when they're getting back in their car, how did the day measure up to your expectations? It'd be interesting, because I've always discovered we always put things pretty high on an expectation list for entertainment and other kinds of things, and sometimes we're disappointed because we just don't have a realistic expectation of something that was made and produced and delivered by other human beings.
I think one thing, for example, you just mentioned, like going to an amusement park, I would probably think, you know, about the weather, or what if the weather got bad, then I would be prepared. You know, I would take the raincoats and all the things. And if it didn't happen, then great. But if it did, I would feel vindicated that I have prepared for this, you know, stressful event or whatever. But yeah, sometimes I get envious of my husband because he is a just go with the flow kind of person. And why are you worrying about this? He thinks it's silly. I don't know if it's some kind of a coping mechanism, but I've always been that way.
Interesting. Well, you go, you know, you look up a movie you want to go see, and we always check out, make sure it's going to be appropriate. But then you'll see the Rotten Tomatoes, you know, when they get a rating and it says it's a 60%. I'm not going to go there unless I have very low expectations. If you keep your expectations at 60% when you go to a 60% movie, you're going to be okay, right? I guess. All right. Where am I going, Stephen? Line 1. All right. Thank you. You can join in. What have you learned about expectations in your faith and your family? How do you manage them for God's glory, for your benefit, and the benefit of your family? Come on, let's talk. Tim is first in Michigan. Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. What have you learned about expectations?
You got to set them. I mean, I start 4 o'clock in the morning every day. 4 to 5 is God's time. Then 5 to 6, a little bit in the office, and get to the bus yard to go drive some kids. I ask God every day for counting my blessings and asking for my new assignments. So every day is just another fun activity that he's already got lined up that we probably couldn't handle the truth anyways if we even knew about it. And I just lean in and give it to God and stop, pause, and pray throughout the day and see where we're going. And so these kids, I like teaching them leadership. And I asked them today on the bus, what's the quality of the leaders? And wow.
You hear back from them. So when you you get up early, Tim, 4 o'clock, and you get your time with the Lord and get really focused. What do you expect? I mean, you kind of just outlined it. So your expectation of the day, if I understand it, is sort of, hey, God, bring it on. Whatever's coming, I'm ready, and let's see what the day brings.
Yeah, as one good friend of mine would say, just God, let me know where you're working today so I can show up, you know?
Yeah.
Lean in and be in the game instead of be on the sideline talking about the game.
Have you always lived this way?
Anything about it. Huh?
Have you always lived this way, Tim?
Most of life, most of my time been positive, but you get in these ruts. Like, for example, I had two surgeries last year, and I'm kind of retired. I just do the school bus and stuff to get kids to school. They're future leaders, but I got in a rut. And when you get out of a routine, oh boy, it really messes you up. You take a bus driver out of routine. You take a child out of routine. You take grandpa out of routine or grandma out of routine. Mm-hmm. Anybody out of routine. You get Satan has a field day with you.
So what do you do, Tim, when you really have? You're married, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What do you do when you're disappointed in your wife?
Well, unfortunately, she usually doesn't disappoint me. I disappoint her. But I pray. She sometimes I just honest with her. You know, I say, you know, for example, she can do like 5 things at once. I got like 10 conversations going on at once. But when I want to talk to her, I want personal space. I want to see eye-to-eye contact. And it really bothers you sometimes when somebody's like, and it's not present in the conversation.
Yeah.
And so we have to be present in the conversation with God every day. So I tell her that. She goes, oh, honey, I can do 2 or 3 things at once. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, well, no, but it's not. I need you to be present here. And so then a lot of times we'll either set it aside or she'll set it down and we'll pick it up from there. But
all right. So you talk to each other. I think that's a key. All right, Tim, thank you, man. In Michigan, got to have some expectations. But at the same time, did you hear, he didn't have expectations around realistic. He didn't say, my expectation for the day is it's going to be perfect. Kids are going to be perfect. The bus is going to run on schedule. Because what happens is when we have these unrealistic expectations, because we live in a fallen world, right? We live in a sinful world. We live in the fact that everything is man-made around us and things fail, including people. We can live in a constant state of disapproval. And I thought about that even in our political world today. When you hear about the expectations we have for our leaders, and by the way, we should have expectations for our leaders, and there should be a lot of honesty, and unfortunately, at times, that's not the case. But at the same time, these are human beings, too. And as leaders in a family, we're human beings, and learning just to be honest. Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if people could just be honest with us? You know, when something doesn't work right, I'm sorry, and let's work on this together, let's get this fixed. Wouldn't that be fantastic if that went on in Washington, D.C.? Another day for that topic. Tell you what, you ever been disappointed with God? I have a caller who is, and we're going to hear from her when we come back right after this short break. Don't go away.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Lauren. I'm an intentional giver, and I'm so incredibly grateful for your program and your station. I just wanted to comment on forgiveness. My biggest challenges with forgiveness when I like really hate someone, don't know if I really hate them, but I just have such an ugly feeling when I think about that person or hear their name. I realized a number of years ago that what I need to do is just decide I'm going to forgive them, and it's a commitment to forgiveness. It's not a heartfelt feeling, but I make the commitment to forgive, and then I intentionally pray for them daily. I pray for God's blessings on them, and I pray for their salvation. You know what? I just keep doing it, and I tell you, in a couple of weeks, I'm over it. I don't hate them anymore. My peace returned. So anyway, thank you so much for teaching me how to be just intentional with God's word. Thanks, Randy. God bless. Bye.
Thank you for taking time to share. Our phone lines go back after the show to the comment line, and you're always welcome to call. The last week or so, we had our lines being held for people calling who are saying, I want to stand with you and support the ministry and be a part of it and join you in this worldwide effort in reaching people to be intentional in Christ in a fallen, unintentional world. And I just want to say a huge thank you to the many of you who did that. You called or went online. We appreciate it. And by the way, if you missed out at any of that, during this month, we've been making available a copy of my latest book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotions. And boy, when your emotions get hijacked, it can be a problem. And the book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotions, has with it a workbook, study guide, and a QR code link to a video on each of the chapters in the book that I put together. And it's our way of saying thanks, encouraging to you, those of you who are joining us in monthly support. If you could join us at $1 a day or more, we'd appreciate it. Why? Because we just feel that God's given us a mission together, and you've pushed us a long ways down the road so far, and we want to keep doing it together, okay? How do you do that? You can call the same phone number here, 888-888-1717, and press number 2 to talk to our staff. Or you can go online, which is very easy, at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on that donate icon. And when you do, you're becoming a part of a ministry that's making a difference in the world today, and I want to thank you for it. We're talking today about disappointment. You ever been disappointed in God?
Hi, this is Darla, and I'm in Michigan, and I was responding to the conversations that Dr. Randy was having today with the people about unmet expectations and the disappointment that results from it. My biggest disappointment probably has resulted from my children, and that is the children that God gave me both have special needs, and it's been very, very difficult. And, you know, I did everything right, grew up Christian home, great parents, great family, married a Christian man. We did all the things right, and yet God saw fit to give us these two children with autism. So I'm dealing with that, and it's kind of an ongoing disappointment, and it will be lifelong.
Wow, what honesty. Thank you, darling. I appreciate it. I know it's a painful thing to share, and just being honest, God honest. And, you know, some people listening might say, well, you know, the best answer is God knew that you were so strong, he gave those children knowing that you could handle it. Well, that's partly true. But I think that's too simplistic, and I think it's hurtful sometimes to not acknowledge the fact that we as followers of Christ can have certain expectations of even our Heavenly Father, which are not in accord with His Word, right? Because we know trouble comes equally to those who are followers of Christ as well as those who are not. Cancer, heart disease, illness, divorce, they come. Now, we know we have a Heavenly Father who sustains us and is with us. And I'll tell you what came to mind as I was hearing Darla share that is something that I heard over this last weekend in church. You ever hear anything in church that's good? I hope so. We do. We happen to be at a great church with fantastic teaching, and Pastor Craig at our church is doing a series, he and Chris, on mercy. And he was talking this last weekend about some really powerful things, and he made a point, and I wrote it down, Craig, if you're listening, I wrote it down. So I'm listening. All right, I'm listening. He was talking about God's mercy, but he was making a point that I lingered on and probably spent the rest of the service thinking about as he was talking about Peter. And here's the Apostle Peter, who is following Jesus. I mean, he's shoulder to shoulder with Christ for 3 years, right? And then all of a sudden, Jesus is arrested and going to be called before Caiaphas. And Jesus is there in the middle of this, what ultimately will be the Easter story, the Good Friday story of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ.
And it says in verse 57 and 58 of Matthew 26, and this is where I lingered when I heard this. I mean, I've read this 100 times, but it was a great point. And the scripture says, and those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But verse 28 is what really struck me. But Peter followed him at a distance. It's interesting. Here's a guy who followed Jesus not from a distance for 3 years. He followed him shoulder to shoulder. And then, of course, he's going to be attacked or challenged by this servant girl and deny Christ 3 times. Now, come on. You know, this is the Peter upon this rock I'm going to build my church guy, right? Who's following Jesus from a distance. And the point that Craig made on Sunday that hit me, that was a reminder, is what happens to us when we follow Jesus from a distance? Fear steps in, worry steps in, anxiety steps in. I wonder if the proximity of Peter had been next to Jesus at that moment, he would have been bolder. Isn't there something about when you get a distance from whatever is where the power source is, you feel less secure in life? And so I say that to say to Darrell and others, if you're feeling disappointed, hey, get the proximity close to God. Doesn't mean the problem's going to go away tomorrow. Okay? Might. He may lift it, he may not. God is a God of mercy, and he's a God of grace and forgiveness, but he also has a world of consequences that happen in the fallen world in which we live. But the point there was a reminder to me about pressing forward, not stopping, and staying close to God. Because when we get away from him, and you know how that can happen, emotionally, spiritually, time-wise, whatever, I think that allows the creeping danger of fear and anxiety to creep in and undermine us. All right, we're talking about expectations today. Love to have you join in. What have you learned about expectations? What is God teaching you? 888-888-1717. Marietta is in Michigan. Hi. In Michigan today. What part of Michigan today?
I am right now, it's in Shelby Township.
Shelby Township. So you're listening to 93.1 FM.
Correct.
Good for you. Well, I hope you're enjoying the station.
I'm loving it.
It's a great new station for family life. All right. What have you learned about expectations, Marietta?
Oh, first of all, I have OCD. So, a lot of people may have OCD and they think that everything needs to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to be perfect. Everybody needs to go to heaven. And the thing is the expectations that is drawn on us is the hand of God. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes we do not check with God. And when things fail, automatically we start blaming everybody around us. And God's saying, no, you did not check on me today. And because of this, maybe I distracted you in some shape or form to know who I am. You didn't call on me. And then when we get in a bind, what do? We call on them.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we're sick, we call on them. So expectation to me, what I experienced is nothing has to be perfect.
No.
Everything's with grace. Salvation is a price that our Lord has paid. And that is not free. That is bought by Jesus himself. So, but grace is free. And the thing is when we think that we deserve things, that's when God says, and what makes you think you deserve things?
Yeah.
You know, did you pay the price that I paid? And I've been going through a storm myself, and there's been times now I'm not disappointed in God. But I do have questions, and the question is why?
Yeah, and listen, I think that's a human condition. We ask the question why, and we know sometimes it's answerable, and many times it's not. And if you're that kind of person that wants to know the why of everything, as the Bible says, it's sort of like we see things through the bottom of a very dark piece of glass. And it's not quite clear to us now, but as the Bible says, someday it'll become clear to us. And it's a reminder, as you were referring to God's grace, I was thinking Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where it's very clear that the Bible says it is by faith we are saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any person, any man, any woman should ever boast. But then it goes on in verse 10 to talk about we are his workmanship, created for good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're created for good works. And so there's something powerful when it comes to living our lives that maybe the expectation becomes more internal. We expect more from ourselves to say, I want to use what God has given me to reach out and minister to other people and not wait for other people to meet my expectations of them all the time. All right. That's what we're talking about. Hey, we're at the end of the show. How'd we get here? All right, I'll tell you what, those of you on the line, hang on. I just like to continue here for another half hour. We're going off the radio, but we're going to stay in the studio and record, and this will air on this Friday for Intentional Living. So if you want to join in this discussion, we're having a good time. We're just talking about expectations. How do we manage them? And really, maybe the question is, how do we deal with the unmet expectations in our life in a really practical way? How do you deal with them? Give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. 888-888-1717. As we wrap up the show today, I just want to again say a huge thank you to our team here. Jennifer, you work so hard to help make everything go smoothly. Thank you. And Stephen, our executive producer, the one who answers the phone, screens the callers. I appreciate his work and our team upstairs on the phone. Our staff, who love you guys, when you call and talk to them, they pray with you. And if you have a prayer need or you want to tell us what's going on in your life, you're always welcome to do that. And of course, those of you who are sharing in support of the ministry, we want to get into your hands a copy of that book, Freedom from the Hijacked Emotions That Can Just Whack You Upside the Head and Damage Your Relationships. And a study guide comes along with it and access to the videos with that series as well. How do you get those? Just go to theintentionallife.com to find out how you can support the ministry, and we'll get those to you. Theintentionallife.com. Or you can call anytime during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 2, talk to our staff. All right. Phone lines reopen for you. We'll be talking a little bit here. Love to have you be a part of it. I'm Dr. Randy for the entire Intentional Living family, including my wife, Donna, and myself, and our team. Thank you for joining us from our Intentional Living studios right here, all a part of Intentional Life Media. We'll see you next time right here. Hope you come and join us.